Therefore, whoever does not hold to the teaching of the Roman Church and the Pope as an infallible rule of truth from which even Holy Scripture draws its power and authority is a heretic. The Bible gets its power and authority from the Pope, says Priorius. That's going further than the Roman Catholic Church does today. That's going beyond the line. And it's like saying, well, the gospel of Christ is true because the Pope says it is. Right? Who gets their authority from whom, for heaven's sakes? Well, Luther does not like this at all. And it goes a little further. Whoever says, in regard to indulgences, writes Priorius, whoever says in regard to indulgences that the Roman Church cannot do as she actually has done by issuing indulgences is a heretic. Right? So if you question what the Pope actually does when he issues indulgences, then you're questioning the Pope. That means you're a heretic because the Pope is infallible. A very blunt instrument for attacking Luther, right? You disagree with what the Pope does, you're a heretic. Right? There's no dialogue here. And it's as if everything depends on what the Pope says. So it's the Roman Church that raises the issue of the authority of the Church, and particularly the authority of the Pope. Luther did not attack the authority of the Pope. The Roman Church insisted. Priorius insisted. It's all about the authority of the Pope. You're a heretic because you question the Pope's authority. And Luther says, well, maybe I should question the Pope's authority. In fact, in 1519, a year later, there's a public debate in Leipzig between Luther and one of his colleagues and some Catholics in Leipzig. And Luther's opponent in this debate in Leipzig says, you know, we could have agreed about this stuff about indulgences easily enough if you hadn't attacked the authority of the Pope. The authority of the Pope is now the issue. Right? Indulgences, there's some abuses in indulgences. They can be cleaned up, most of the Catholics think. But attacking the authority of the Pope, uh-uh. And the problem was that the Pope himself commissioned this man Priorius to say, it's all about the Pope. Right? The Pope basically plays the Pope card. And that was a mistake. He should have thought, well, maybe we should clean up the sale of indulgences. It's not being done right. We can fix a few things. Right? Pope Leo could have responded that way. Okay, Tetzel's not doing it right. Let's fix this. Right? Martin, you're speaking up too loud. You're questioning the Pope. Cut it out. But meanwhile, let's fix indulgences. They could have taken that tack. But instead they said, you're questioning the Pope. The Pope's infallible. You're a heretic. Cut it out. The authority of the Pope becomes the issue. Luther didn't make it the issue. The Pope made it the issue through this man, Sylvester Priorius, who was the Pope's chief theologian and was clearly acting on the Pope's behalf. So, in 1519 again, Priorius writes another document in reply to Luther's reply to him. So there's a back and forth here, and this is the second time that Priorius writes about Luther. And he brings to Luther's attention a piece of canon law that reads like this. If the Pope were so scandalously bad that he led multitudes of souls to the devil, still he could not be removed from office. This is a papal decree. It's in the canon law. Luther reads this in the summer of 1520, because he doesn't get Priorius's reply in Wittenberg until 1520. It's a very fateful summer. And he reads this, and he wonders if everyone in Rome has gone crazy. What? If the Pope leads people to hell, then you can't do anything about it? If the Pope sells stuff, makes money by driving people to despair and to hell, right, and this is how he funds the papacy, that's okay? You can't do anything about it? In his reply to Priorius in 1520, his comment is, be astonished, O heaven, shudder, O earth, behold, O Christians, what Rome is. It'll take him a few months to get explicit about what he thinks Rome actually is. He'll say that Rome is Antichrist. Rome is the principle of the devil. It is an institution that is anti-Christian, comes right straight from the devil, because it's saying, I, the Pope, can drive everyone to the devil, even if they all go to hell. I can make my money that way, and you can't do anything about it. Luther's conclusion at the end of all this, as he thinks this through, in his second response to Priorius, is this. Now farewell, unhappy, hopeless, blasphemous Rome. The wrath of God has come upon you in the end as you deserved. He's decided that the Pope is Antichrist. That's the deep decision that makes the Reformation necessary. You don't compromise with the Antichrist. You don't try to reform the Antichrist. Right? The Antichrist is no longer the Church. Right? The institution of the Antichrist can only be resisted. You break away from it. You have nothing to do with it. You start anew. You start from the gospel of Christ instead of from the word of Antichrist. That makes the Reformation necessary.